Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, and welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are chatting about something today that is something that I'm super passionate about. And I know that, Amanda, you're super passionate about it too. It's about eating healthy without counting a single calorie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite, one of my favorite topics because I hate counting calories.
I know.
So, yes.
And I also, well, and I think there is still such a focus on thinking, oh, if I lose weight, like to lose weight or to be healthy, I have to be counting calories. And while yes, that is a strategy, that's all it is a strategy. It doesn't mean it's the be all end all to living healthy, losing weight, building muscle. So today we're going to go through the top four ways that you can clean up your eating without counting a single calorie, which I think is going to be packed with some awesome information.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay, so I want to start off before we get into the top four ways, just talking about, you know, what really happens when we get so focused on being what I like to call quote unquote good or clean eating. And you know how I hate that word, actually, clean eating.
I don't use it at all. I know, because I feel the same way as you do. Because I think it just is, it becomes such a negative, like the word good becomes a very negative, it creates a negative impact in my opinion.
Completely. It's almost like, you know, when you are focused on clean eating, it's like if you eat off of that list of what is, and again, I always say quote unquote clean because I don't like to even put it as an actual word. It's like if you're eating on the dirty list, then you're doing something that's bad. So anything that's not on that clean list, it's like, everything becomes almost labels, then it turns into anxiety, then it turns into stress eating, and then next thing you know, you are binging, and you are like, you know what I mean? You're in a place of self-loathing, and it just spins and spins and spins.
Totally, and it creates so much guilt, I find. Like, I know before, like, even the word cheat, like when people use the word cheat meals, I don't even use that. I used to, like many, many moons ago, but when I think about that, like when I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a cheat meal today or something like that, I never use that anymore because now I'm just like, I'm just going to eat intuitively. I'm going to eat what I want. Obviously, you know, I try to eat healthy because I'm trying to fuel my body. But at the same time, if I choose to eat something else, I don't let it become like, oh, well, now I've eaten, you know, this piece of pizza. So now the rest of my day is shot and now I'm just going to eat crap for the rest of the day, or, you know, I'm going to eat junk food for the rest of the day or whatever. It's like, I don't know, like you get into this weird mindset by certain words. I think that they create like this sense of, like this sense of guilt. And then also this sense of like making things like, I don't know, like kind of okay. Like when you're like, oh, I'm going to cheat. And then you just keep cheating. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird.
Well, does that make sense? Yeah, it's like, sorry, it's like shaming. Like anything to do with shaming, I'm not a fan of. I do think though, like I was saying in the beginning, you know, there is strategies to losing weight.
Of course.
When you are, you know, especially like when I was in competition, obviously I had to be extremely selective with counting calories because I had to be getting a certain balance of the macronutrients of carbs, proteins, and fats. I had to be getting a specific amount of calories. I had to be decreasing my calories to lose weight. And a lot of times a cheat meal is actually, it's like a refuel because you cannot have your body at a caloric deficit for that long amount of time without, without causing, you know, some sort of metabolic damage or metabolism slowing down to adapt to the changes. So what kind of ends up happening is that during something like that, where it's an actual strategy of nutrient timing and a way of doing it, that's not the way everyday people are eating though. You know, we're thinking, oh, a cheat meal, we suddenly label it as like, this is a free for all to go binging on all this crap that we've put on the bad food list, you know, and then the rest of the week we're eating clean and that gives us the gold star of being a good person. And if we had something on the bad list during that week, we're a bad person. You know, so it's like, that's where I think if you're using it as a strategy and you understand exactly why you're doing it and you can emotionally detach from the words and the, if it's just specifically goal oriented, which most people cannot do, like 99% of the population can't do that because we're not just creatures of like, follow this rule and, you know what I mean? Follow this plan and get to a certain way. We're emotional. So our emotions tie into things and we're also habitual. So the more we do things, we create a habit around them. And the more that we are, you know what I mean? Like clean, dirty, counting calories, it becomes like a natural habit. And then as soon as we stop doing it, we feel guilty. So we want to step away from that if, unless you are utilizing a strategy for a specific goal. Mm-hmm. So that was my long-winded thing around, you know, calorie counting and it does.
And avoiding the good and bad.
Avoiding the good and bad. And that's why even, I mean, we talk about this in our Fitness Nutrition Expert program as under the nutrition section as a strategy is utilizing something called IIFYM. So if it fits your macros. And that's just a whole way of thinking about food, you know, eating within your caloric intake. So you do still have to actually count your macros and count your calories. But what it does is it takes foods from being on the good or bad list and basically just turns it into like, as long as you eat this many carbs, this many proteins, this many fats for your specific body type, you can fill that with whatever you want. You want it to be real whole foods, but you could still work in a chocolate bar and not feel like it's bad or you're going to not lose weight or not reach your goals.
For sure. I think honestly that whole topic though should be like a separate podcast altogether. Oh, I think it's fascinating stuff. So for anyone listening, check in again, because we will do another podcast specifically around macros and how to eat within your macros, because it is something that I think a lot of people would love to know, especially because it can be quite simple and it's like, and it allows for you to have a like flexible eating, right? Like it allows for you to have like a little bit more flexibility without the guilt and shame and all of that that's attached to it.
Well, yeah. And that's what they call it. They call it flexible dieting. And it's true. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get into that. I just wanted to touch on it because there are people who, as soon as you say like eat intuitively, most people actually don't know how to do that. They don't know how to eat intuitively because we're so disconnected from our bodies. So they do need some strategies to help them to get on that path. So these are kind of like what we're going to talk about today are the beginner strategies. And then we get into more advanced ones, which we can talk about in other podcasts. But
perfect. Well, let's do this. Okay. What are the top four things that people can do to start eating better today, which will lead to fat loss, more energy, better hormone balancing, et cetera, without having to count a single calorie? What is it?
Well, first of all, before I say number one, I just want to say, preface all of this with, we make everything way too complicated and we need to stop doing that. So there are no magic foods. There are no, these light, these calorie-free, gluten-free health foods that aren't healthy at all because they're all packaged and refined. There is nothing that you can eat. I get these questions a lot, like, well, what about if I eat avocados? And I'm like, well, yeah, avocados are great for you. They're full of protein, you know, they're full of fiber and they're full of healthy fats, but just eating avocados isn't going to make you healthy. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that first of all, before we get into this, there are no magic foods, and just remember it's about simplicity. So the first thing, the top four things that you can do right now, number one is do not drink your calories. Now, I don't even like using the word calorie, like to focus on calories, because we don't want to focus on calories. However, it's just a way of thinking about it, because when we think of drinks that have calories in them, like what do you think of when you think of drinks with calories?
I always think of like ice caps and all that kind of stuff. I don't drink anything like that, but I always think of like those like specialty coffees and stuff, because for me, whenever I look at them, I always like, they just look like they're covered in like, I was gonna say sour cream. Seriously, like, where's my brain today?
Pregnancy brain.
I'm really hungry, I think. You're covered in whipped cream and like all this stuff. And like, it just, to me, when I look at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I drank that, I would probably go into like, I don't know, like
diabetic coma, like a diabetic.
Yeah, it was like some crazy anxiety state where I'd be like shaking and stuff because of all the sugar. Cause as you know, like I've never even tasted coffee in my life, so I don't even know what it tastes like, but it looks to me like it wouldn't taste like what coffee is supposed to take. It looks like it just would taste like sugar, like just pure sweet sugar craziness. And I'm sure maybe it's delicious, I don't know, but that to me is like, whenever I think of don't drink your calories, it's like the number one thing I think of is like those ice caps in the summer and those like crazy specialty coffees and stuff.
Like the frappuccinos and all of those.
Yeah, it's like the first thing that always comes to my mind.
But it's one of those things that it's so, I mean, especially with that, you know, the coffee craze coming out, it's true. Like so many people are drinking like half, even more than half of the calories their body needs in a day, just in these types of drinks, like, yeah, you know, lattes and, like you said, all the ice drinks, but the things that we don't, oh, sorry. And soda is still a huge one, like Coke, ginger ale, like all these,
yeah,
like one can of soda has 33 grams of sugar. So a teaspoon of sugar is 4 grams. So right there, that's like almost nine teaspoons of sugar in one can. One can.
That's crazy.
Like if you can visualize in your mind right now, taking sugar out of the sugar bowl and putting 9 teaspoons on a plate, that's what you get every time that you are sipping on a can of soda. Like, so those are things that we think about right away, but there's a lot of sugar that's hiding in things that we don't think about, like milk. Milk, yeah, full of sugar. Skim milk, which a lot of people drink because they think they're drinking a healthier form of milk. It's lower in fat. However, every time you take something out, you have to put something in. So lower fat, the higher sugar. So one cup of skim milk has 13 grams of sugar. That's like 4 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of skim milk.
You know, I don't get it.
No, and it's crazy. No.
You know, the other thing, sorry to interrupt you. You know, the other thing that I always think of too is smoothies, because, and not like green smoothies or like ones that you're making, like that are made at home and kind of like, you know, those fresh things. I'm talking about like those smoothies that you buy, those prepackaged ones that they sell at the grocery stores that,
oh yeah.
Do you know which ones I'm talking about? Yeah. Like the ones, I don't know the company names. But
all the major ones have them now, like all of the juice.
Yeah. All the major juice companies. But yeah, like it's like those ones where it's like the strawberry banana, like they taste delicious. Don't get me wrong. And I know they say no sugar added because it's all natural sugars, but it's still this huge sugar bomb because it's like, you really don't need to have like, you know, when it's like, oh, you're going to have like 72 apples in this jar. Like you don't need to have that many all at once. It's just, it's too much sugar for your body to process.
Well, and that's one of the major things that, you know, a lot of people and, you know, even we come up against when we're talking with our clients and stuff is that fruit is obviously very healthy for us. Hmm. But the thing is, fruit juice, even in its most natural form, is still so high in sugar. Like it's fructose. So anything that ends in O-S-E, like if you look at a label and you see glucose, we know that's sugar. If you see fructose, we know that's sugar. Anything dextrose, it's a form of sugar. So they like to hide these things in the labels. So if anytime you look at the label and see O-S-E, it's a form of sugar. That could
be. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
About that, just in regards to that. Now, if it's just a different form of sugar, is it just because of the chemical balance of it that they have different names for it? Or is it literally just like the way that, like, I don't know, they just come up with a new name for it just to make sure that they can actually hide it and make it a little bit more tricky for people to understand? Do you know the answer to that? I'm just curious.
Yeah,
it almost sounds like it's like it either has to be the chemical balance of it or it has to be the just trickiness of the government.
There like, are some, but like a lot of it is like lactose is the sugar in milk. Fructose is the sugar in the naturally sugar in fruits. Glucose is just simple sugars. Like that's the simplest, like white sugar. That's what everything turns into in your body to give you energy. And right. So any carbohydrate turns into, it breaks down to glucose. But then there's different forms of sugar. So yeah, if that answers your question, it's like, it depends on what the source of the sugar is, but glucose is the simplest form of sugar.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I was just curious.
But that's where, so the thing is with the fruit juices is now a lot of people are juicing. And juicing can serve a really great health purpose, but also when we juice, we take out all of the fiber, we take out all of the things that that Mother Nature basically made that fruit the way it's supposed to be digested properly in your body. So when you take the juice out of that, really what you're doing is you're just, you know, hot, like it's a highway to your bloodstream, and it's just going to spike your blood sugar so quickly because there's no fiber and roughage to slow it down. So if you remember, if anyone listening remembers our podcast on fiber, you know, we need that insoluble, soluble fiber to help balance blood sugar. So that's where kind of fruit juice, it gets to be kind of a weird topic because some people are like, obviously we want to stay away from the processed, you know, the from concentrate crap. But you know, having a natural fruit juice, like natural apple juice, natural orange juice, things like that. Yes, there's still a lot of nutrients in them, but you have to be very careful because if you do have blood sugar issues or you're trying to lose weight or you are, or you're just, even if you're just having them on their own, you could experience a lot of issues, you know what I mean? Because there's so much sugar in it. So I always recommend if you're going to do juice to have it with something else, like have it with the protein and a fat. Like, so if you're going to drink that juice, drink it with something you're eating. That's why I always like smoothies over juicing. Because smoothies, it's more of a meal. Like I think of smoothies as more of a meal in a glass, whereas juicing, usually I use it more for like therapeutic things as opposed to just to drink.
Right. So would you say then, like, for example, if somebody was going to have a glass of apple juice, then ideally your best bet, if you're really craving sort of that apple, just have an apple as opposed to the juice, because then it would actually be absorbed into your body differently and it wouldn't spike your blood sugar as high and as quickly. And you probably wouldn't also, have as many calories, because in order to create a glass of apple juice, even if you're juicing it naturally, you'd have to probably use like 10 apples. Cause I know, exactly. I mean, I see people juice, and it's crazy. Like how much vegetables and fruits you go through just to get like that little half a cup of juice. No, so would you say then that that would probably be the recommendation? And I'm just asking, cause you know, I want to know sort of for our listeners, like what's sort of the solution if you do have that sort of craving for apple juice?
Yeah. And you're completely correct. Like if you juiced one apple, the amount of juice you'd probably get out of it would be like a half a shot glass. Like it would be so
small. I know, it's insane.
So like if you want an apple, for sure, eat the apple versus and drink and have a glass of water. You know what I mean? Like versus drinking the apple juice, because like I was saying earlier, like Mother Nature, she knows best. We like to screw up everything. We like to alter the things. So when she created an apple, she knew, okay, I'm going to put soluble fiber. And again, remembering from before what we talked about, that's the stuff that it's more gelatinous. It moves through your, it helps things move through your system. So I'm going to put soluble fiber in the actual fruit. I'm going to put insoluble fiber, which is the roughage. Our body can't break it down. That gives us bulk in our poo. That's the skin. And I'm also going to put a ton of nutrients in the skin. And then I'm going to put the sugar in as well to make it taste sweet. And I'm going to put in all the vitamins and minerals and so forth. So when you eat that perfect little package, it's been created in a way that your body, once you put it in your body, it's going to break down. It's not going to spike your blood sugar. It's going to break down in the way it's meant to. Whereas when we just take the juice right out of it, well, now we've just said to Mother Nature, like, you don't know what you're doing. We're totally going to make our own thing. And what happens then, you're just taking out all the sugar and the sweetness, and you've skipped all of the fiber that she put in there to make it slower to digest. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, always go for the most natural forms of things possible. As soon as we start altering things, we start altering the way not only that the way things taste, but the way that our bodies break it down. And that can be very detrimental to our health, depending on how healthy we are to begin with.
Got it.
So that's kind of like number one is, so, you know, thinking of the top four ways that you can start cleaning up. I don't even like the word cleaning up, but like, you know what I mean? Being more aware of a healthier long-term lifestyle habits that you can do is just think, I'm not going to drink my calories. So instead of drinking, like, instead of drinking juices and those frappuccinos and alcohol and hot chocolates and milk, you know, think about drinking water, herbal teas. There's so many herbal teas out there now that are just delicious. Green teas, black coffee, unsweetened almond milk in your coffee instead of milk. And it will just cut down on probably about 50% of the of the sugar that you consume in a day.
That's crazy. The one thing though that I'm going to say, and I'm going to speak on behalf of all the listeners out there, that, you know, some people may be wanting to turn this off right now because you just said, just say no to alcohol. Just kidding. What about the wine?
No, well, and that's the thing. Everything in moderation, even moderation. But if on the daily, like if you kind of just right now, even listening to this, take a little moment and think about what you drink in a day and just kind of do a little tally in your mind. Like, okay, if you're having like a latte at breakfast and you're having, you know, a smoothie for lunch that's from like Booster Juice, and then you're doing at dinner like 3 glasses of wine, how much sugar would you be cutting out and how many calories would you be cutting out if you just switch those for, you know, seltzer and like an unsweetened almond milk latte versus with milk, things like that. The one thing I do want to say though too, this is not saying go to drink diet stuff. Stay away from the diet stuff still, like aspartame filled, all of that stuff is not good.
No, for sure.
Because a lot of people, as soon as they think don't drink your calories, they're like, okay, I'm going to go diet Crystal Light, all of those, you know, diet pops. And you know, because you love that. You used to love that diet pop.
I was like addicted to it. Now I drink Perrier like nobody's business.
Well, yeah, and that's just, it's like once you...
I love Perrier. So it's like, it's my new switch. And it's like, I literally drink at least one large bottle a day on top of all my other water. Because it feels actually like, even though it's just carbonated water, it actually tastes and feels differently to me. So it actually feels like it's like a treat. So
exactly.
Yeah. You just got to find the switch, the swap out that works for you.
Yeah. And give yourself, you know, give yourself some patience, give yourself some time to make the swap. Like if you're like used to having, you know, 5 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee and you cut it down to 1 teaspoon, obviously for a while it's going to taste different, but eventually your taste buds will change. You know, like it's just making sure that you stick with making the healthier habit because you made the bad habit. Now try to switch it to making it a healthier habit. Okay.
So what is number two?
Number two of our top 4 ways of changing the way you eat without counting a single calorie. And you've probably heard, if you've listened to our podcast, you've probably heard of this before, but it's something we live by. It's called follow the complete in 3 rule. So somebody actually in one of my nutrition courses asked me the other day, like, what is my goal? Like, because a lot of people who I hang out with, they do a lot of clinical nutrition. So dealing with people who, you know, are healing from illnesses by using food food as medicine, because food is medicine. And, you know, some do all this crazy stuff and they're like, well, what is your goal to do with healthy eating? Like, what do you want people to learn from you? I'm like, I just want them to eat real food. That's it. I think so many problems, health problems, weight problems, emotional, mental problems can be solved by changing the way you eat, by eating real food, real whole food, and following this complete in 3 rule. So Amanda, you know what the complete in 3 rule is, so why don't you share it?
Well, the complete in 3 rule is when you are eating a protein, a fiber, and a fat. And so the fiber can also be seen as like a carbohydrate, but like not like a carbohydrate like pasta, but more like a carbohydrate like a vegetable. Like it doesn't have to, whenever people think, and I used to do this too, I used to always think carbohydrates were just like were just like pastas or breads or that kind of thing. But that is not the case, right? Because we want to think of our carbohydrate as like a fibrous one. So something like legumes or something like quinoa or something like that, where it has a little bit more to it so that it breaks down a little bit slower and it's not just like a complex carb.
Oh, you're so good. That's an explanation. Yeah. And one rule of thumb, and I mean, we talked about this too on the fiber podcast, which I keep pumping. So if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to the fiber podcast. But we always say, you know, try to aim for 5 grams of fiber per meal. Because we want to get between 25 to 40 grams of fiber a day. So if we've got the 5 grams of fiber per meal, then we're definitely going to be getting enough fiber per day. And like white bread and crappy processed foods mostly will not have 5 grams of fiber as it is. so just adding just to that complete and three, what you're saying, the reason why we do that again is because it balances blood sugar. It helps with what's called low glycemic eating. And glycemic eating, is the level of, you know, how much foods will raise your blood sugar. So if you're eating something that's, you know, doesn't have the fiber and the fat, it doesn't have like protein and the fat, and also the fiber, it's going to shoot that blood sugar up a lot quicker. And that leads to a lot of health issues and, you know, hormonal imbalance, weight imbalance. So, and also craving. So by just knowing, okay, I'm going to focus on protein, real whole food first, always first, you got to start with the real whole food, then focus on protein, fiber, and fat at each meal. If you can do that, you are going to change so much without, again, having to portion out or, you know, count calories or worry about, you know, all these other things. Just following those two rules will do wonders.
And I know that today we're talking about sort of how to eat without having to count calories, but on this topic, just in terms of the complete and three, I just want to mention, like, in terms of even myself, like, I'm someone who personally, has issues with low blood sugar. So I have, and I've done a bunch of tests and stuff, and I am not diabetic in any way, but I have blood sugar that is very similar to a diabetic, which is very strange. And it's just sort of the way that I'm built. And so what that means is when my blood sugar is not stable, I get like hot flashes. I start sweating and I actually get like blurred vision and I get like shaky and I can't focus. Like it's really intense. But it's a form of low blood sugar. And so in order for me to keep that in check, I have to follow this rule. And it's the only way, because I do find as soon as I start eating outside of this, if I just eat carbohydrates, if I just have pasta with nothing in it, for example, it really will only create more issues for me in the long run. So if you are someone that's listening and you kind of suffer from that same like low blood sugar levels and kind of like imbalances in that sense, follow this rule. I'm telling you, it will help immensely because it will just help you maintain your blood sugar so that you won't have those peaks and valleys and feel really crappy.
Well, and what I like about that too, to add to it, is that, you know, the one thing I like about this rule as well is that everybody can do it. So, yeah. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a vegan, it doesn't matter if you're a vegetarian, it doesn't matter if you're following low carb, you know, gluten-free, you just have to choose the foods, the real whole foods within these three categories of the protein, fiber, and fat that work for you. So, you know, with a vegan, you would pick a plant-based protein as opposed to picking a meat-based protein, which maybe someone who is an omnivore will eat, you know? So, or with a gluten-free, maybe instead of picking something like a cassia or like something that's, you know, rye as your fiber, you would pick quinoa. So it's just like, it's things that you can actually, anyone can incorporate this, just making sure that you start off with the real whole food.
Exactly.
Okay. So number three of our top four ways to clean up your eating without counting a single calorie is something that we love to talk about too on the podcast. And that is mindset. So number three is shifting your nutrition thinking, from looking at just eating because you're hungry, but shifting it to think about fueling your body for health. And I know for some people, they're like, when you first hear concepts like this, you're kind of like, ugh, like, how am I going to actually shift the way I think, you know what I mean? To be like, to think this way. Like a lot of times
you hear it and you're like, oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
I just want to eat because it tastes delicious. I don't want to eat to think of it this way, but it's important that you think of it as fuel, because once you start eating this way and you start eating the complete and three and you start eating healthier foods, you're going to notice the energy level in your body, your focus, your attention, the way that your sleep patterns are, everything changes. And so why wouldn't you want to feel that way?
And also, like, I mean, a lot of people, and we don't like to talk a lot about focus on weight loss, but a lot of people, that's their goal. And if that's your gateway into getting to healthier habits and you jump on the healthy train because of that, and you make these changes and then you start to see those other benefits, then I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you to focus on weight. Like, we even have a course coming up called with FitChicks Academy. So if you want to check it out, you can go to our website, fitchicksacademy.com. We have a course starting in January called The Natural Weight Loss Coach. And we struggled with what we were going to call it because we didn't want it to be focused fully on, you know, losing weight, because really losing weight is a byproduct of a body that's in balance. So that's why in that course, we go through all the understanding of digestion and hormones and blood sugar management and how to utilize exercise with it and all of that stuff, because it, there is not just, you know, one size fits all way of doing it. But by shifting your mindset to start to recognize your habits almost, then it'll make your habits not even feel like habits. It will just become your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So like some of the ways that, you know, I kind of think about, so when I'm looking at a meal that I'm about to make, I don't think, oh my God, this is really fatty. It's going to make me gain weight. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I shouldn't have those chips or whatever it is. I don't even think about it from a sense of like guilt, weight, whatever. I start to look at food and think about it. First of all, like, does this meal have any nutrition in it? So is it processed? Like if it's processed right away, like we were talking earlier about the apple and the apple juice, soon as it's processed from what Mother Nature created, there has been reduced nutrients in it, unless the food companies have pumped back in, and which we see in words like enriched, fortified. You know, when you see like your orange juice has been fortified with vitamin C, that's because they've added stuff back in. So I think right away, is it processed? Because as soon as it's been processed, this is not the most nutritional food I could eat. So we want to look for foods in their natural forms, veggies, meats, fish, seeds, nuts, fruits, all of that stuff. And then if it has been processed, then how can I make it more nutritious? So the one thing I think about the most when I think about processing in foods is bread. Because bread is, even whole grain bread, you know, a lot of people now get onto the gluten-free, you know, they think that gluten-free bread is better. Gluten-free bread is still a processed, refined product. So it's not better. But what can you do to make it better? You know, so if you're going to have bread, how can I pack that sandwich I'm going to make with the most nutrition I can? So pack it full of veggies, pack it full of lean protein, healthy fats like avocado. Like, how can I turn that processing? Now, how can I up the nutritional value of my meal? Like, do you ever do that with anything? Like, how do you, like when you're making a meal, how do you think?
I usually think about, is this going to give me, I honestly do think, is this going to give me energy? Like, or is this going to make me feel really tired? Because I find like I'm pretty in tune with what I put into my body. And I know that if I do put in a lot of processed foods, or if I eat really heavy foods like pastas and breads and things like that, I generally feel really sluggish after. So I usually look to kind of look at what I'm making and I think, okay, is this balanced? Is there enough vegetables? I'm kind of like almost like the overdoer when it comes to veggies, I think. Because even when I make like a spaghetti sauce, for example, I put like cauliflower, broccoli, like Brussels sprouts, like every single vegetable. Like, it's so non-traditional.
It's like, what's it called? Is it primavera? Like, there's one of the pasta sauces that's, is it primavera?
Well, primavera, I think is like, it's like a, I think it's like an oil based or like a pesto based one with veggies.
Okay.
Kind of like that. But I make a tomato based because I like tomato based sauces, but I make a tomato based sauce, but it literally is like 85% just vegetables. Like, it'll be like every vegetable I have in my fridge goes in this mix. And I think it tastes delicious because I like all of those vegetables. Other people might think it's super weird because it's like, it's almost like putting together like a chili almost, but like not, you know what I mean? Because I don't like beans, so I just don't put beans in it.
No, but it's a great way of like, how can you up the, like, if you like veggies, you know, for someone who might not like veggies as much, they could add in some beans, or they could add in something else to up the nutritional value of what they're doing, you know, like,
of course,
but there's, it's such a great way of thinking, like how, like, and especially having the veggie mentality of like, how many veggies can I get in here? Because veggies are what's packed with all of our vitamins and minerals that we really need.
And they're also the thing that really, I find that really fills you up because of all the fiber in the majority of them. Like, I always feel so full, but not like that, like bloated, like heavy full. It's like, you just feel full. You feel satisfied. And, you know, it's, I don't know, like it's a different feeling altogether. I really dislike that feeling of just like sluggish, like I can feel my body is like trying to process this like stuff that feels like glue in my belly. Like I really don't like that feeling. So I try to find foods that I know that my body's going to process and metabolize quickly.
Well, the thing that's cool with that though is like, and that's a perfect example of what you just said, of you recognize that feeling now because you know what it feels like to feel really good and high energy, and you've begun to understand what foods contribute to those feelings. Whereas a lot of people, and probably a lot of people listening right now, have not yet felt how great you can feel when you're giving your body the right nutrition, you're to do its job, and your mind the right nutrition to be clear. So, you know, that's why if you are feeling really sluggish all the time after you eat, just try these four things we're talking about. Like, it will change so much for you.
I think one of the other things too that I always think about is the colors in my food.
Yes.
So is it colorful? Because, and I know you and I talk about this a lot, but like I always say, like, beige is boring. Because it's like, beige is boring, like if like everything in your house is beige and everything's beige, but also if everything on your plate is beige, generally if everything is like beige, like if you're eating like, I always think of like chicken fingers and fries, like if you look at that plate, everything is the same color. It's just this weird like goldeny brown color. And although it might taste delicious in the moment, it's giving you like zero, there's like zero nutrients, right? Like there's nothing going on in there. Other than maybe a little bit of lean meat if you made them homemade. But other than that, it's kind of like you're really limiting yourself. Whereas if you have like, I don't know, sometimes I make homemade chicken fingers, like from scratch. They're really delicious. They're super light and they're not really, you know, they're baked. they're not really like the super deep fried coated ones. But the way I make them, I think they taste super delicious. But I make those, but always on the side with that, I have like leafy greens and veggies and like a nice salad. And then I may end up adding, depending, especially now with my pregnancy, sometimes I'm not like, I'm still hungry. So I might add like a bit of quinoa, but I'll make like a quinoa sort of mix with like other veggies too. So it depends.
Well, I always think about when I think about the colorful thing, which I think is such a huge, easy tip to remember, like, is there color on my plate? Because the color is what, you know, all foods that are rich in phytonutrients, which are super healing to the body and high in antioxidants, which help prevent aging, cancer, all those things, are bright colors. So that's what, you know, that's what I kind of look for, is just the brightness. And then I think there's lots of nutrition there. But I always think about how you and I talk about, like, I'm not judgmental, but I'm such a grocery store watcher. Like, I'm like the creepster who's like checking out everyone's like cart, like what they're buying. And I started to realize that most of the people, if you look next time you're at the grocery store, and don't do it in a judgy way, just do it in an observing way. If you peek over at someone's cart who has a lot of beige food, like packaged pasta and bread and packaged cereals and all the processed stuff, and then you look at the person pushing the cart, usually they look pretty beige as well. Like, their skin does not look glowy. They're very dull because they don't have the vibrant nutrition that is required to live. Like, it's just kind of, and again, it just will reinforce to you what you put in your cart, what you put in your body is going to change the way you look, the way you feel, everything about it.
Totally.
One other thing I also like to do, so to help shift to a way of thinking of, you know, a fierce nutrition, I also like to, like, not play a game, but when I'm looking at my meal, I think, okay, how can I swap this out to add some more nutrition into it? So, like, for example, if, you know, if you're someone who uses mayonnaise a lot, a great substitute for mayonnaise, and mayonnaise is not bad for you, especially if it's made naturally, because it is just like eggs and olive oil, and you know what I mean? It's, but is avocados. Like, avocados are a great creamy substitute for mayonnaise.
Definitely.
And then like for cauliflower, like, or sorry, for rice, you know, you could swap it out for cauliflower rice or brown rice, because rice, white rice is not bad for you either, but it's just that brown rice, all of the nutrients of the rice is in the bran. And rice is really great for, it's a really great source of B vitamins, which we need to help metabolize. So as soon as we take that bran off and we just have the white rice, we are losing all that extra goodness. So can I swap that out to get more nutrients in? So it's just a way of, you know, looking at your plate and think, or thinking, not even look at your plate, or I like to think of my grocery shop or thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner. And I'm like, oh, like last night I got organic turkey sausages from this turkey farm by where I live right now. And, you know, I did them, I loaded up on the nutrition though, on the toppings, because I'm like a topping person. So then I put like avocado, fresh tomatoes, onions, lettuce. So like literally they were so packed full of like, it was like veggie mania in a bun. But I started off thinking, oh, I'm going to make turkey sausages. Now how can I make them even healthier? How can I add more nutrition?
I did the same thing yesterday, but not with turkey sausages. I made muffins because I'm trying to get my mom game up to point so that I know how to make stuff like this when the baby comes or when she gets older.
Yeah.
So I was making muffins and, so I made zucchini muffins, and my husband hates zucchini. Like he literally tells me every single time I try to make like zoodles, like the zucchini noodles and stuff, how much he hates zucchini. And I made these zucchini muffins, and I was like, I didn't have eggs, so I substituted bananas for eggs. So it was like zucchini, bananas, and then like some whole grain flour and things like that. But everything was made from scratch. It was totally like a healthier version. And he loved them.
Yeah, the thing so, with zucchini, it's so, you can hide it. You can hide it in so many things. But I'm not a big believer. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who really believe in the hiding mentality of nutrition. And I think that it kind of defeats the purpose because, yes, you're giving them nutrition, but people have got to learn the skills.
True. But if you have someone who truly believes that they just, in their mindset, they will not shift their mindset, then I agree with just like you put it in, because that's what I do consistently. I told you before, my husband's like a 5-year-old. Like I literally will blend stuff into my, like broccoli, I will blend it and put it into sauces. And then he's like, oh, this is delicious. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess it is for sure. Like for some people, but for me, like I always think, it's so, especially with children, when people just sneak stuff in to get them to eat it. Like I understand that mindset behind getting the nutrition in, but it's like, you've got to teach them because you're not doing them any favors for the long haul. They don't know how to make it. You know what I mean? Like my sister was so good with my nieces because she was very much involved in their understanding all the vegetables, and they could choose what they wanted to eat, but they only had a selection of certain things. And if they didn't pick from that selection, then they weren't eating it at that time. You know what I mean? Like she would be like, you could have blueberries and oats and this, or you could have whatever.
Yeah.
Else. So it was kind of like, again, teaching them the ideas for it. But that's where, so yeah. So shifting to a mindset of nutrition, everything starts with the mindset. So just ask yourself those questions. Like, is this processed? If it is processed, how can I add more nutrition to it? Is it high fiber, at least 5 grams a meal? Is it colorful? You know, making sure we got the antioxidants in there. And then how can you swap yourself out for more nutrition? Okay, which leads us to number 4. So number 4 is kind of putting it all together. So it's, how do you start? If you're listening to this and you're like, okay, this is great information, but, you know, I'm going to do this tomorrow and I'm going to go gangbusters on it, or I don't know how to do it. We're going to tell you how. So the first thing to do, I always think, is start off with something that's manageable, like manageable chunks. So choose one meal a day that you're going to make over to start. So after listening to this podcast, you know, think about like which one's kind of your, I don't like to say your weakest meal, but, you know, maybe it's breakfast. Maybe breakfast is when you grab something really quickly. So how can you make that over?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where it's, yeah. So thinking about the things that we just talked about, how can you make it over in terms of how can I not drink my calories? So something like switch the cream in your coffee for almond milk, or try an herbal tea for breakfast as opposed to going for those sugary lattes. Secondly, you know, following the second thing we talked about, is my breakfast complete in three? So is my blood sugar going to be balanced? Do I have a protein, fiber, and fat in my breakfast? And then ask yourself, how can I up the nutrient value? So like we just talked about, is it bright colored? Is it high fiber? Is it processed? How can I make it unprocessed? So that's kind of our tip number four, is just put effort into one meal for the next week, and do it for 7 days, one meal and just be very, very conscious of your meal and try these things and see how easy it is to make the shift to clean up your eating.
Definitely. And I know we always end our podcast with our biggest takeaway, but my biggest takeaway kind of ties into this. So I'm going to add it in now.
Do it.
Flipping the script. But I think my biggest takeaway for today, for all of our listeners out there, is I've got two things. Number one is, like, right away, try to avoid or try to start with the mindset shift of getting rid of like the negative connotation, the negative words around your meals. So the good versus bad, the clean versus dirty, all that. And just think of it as nutrients, and think of it as, is it nutrition for my body, or is it just like food that I'm just kind of filling a gap, you know, and start thinking of it from that perspective and think of it as a fuel thing. And then my second thing is tying into number four of how to start is avoid trying to go all crazy all at once, because, I mean, some people can definitely do this and they can manage just to make everything change immediately. But oftentimes what happens is you make a decision that you're going to just like, that's it. As of tomorrow, I'm eating only this way and I'm not drinking my calories. I'm only drinking water and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm going to start working out. And you create this huge list of things that you're going to start doing, and then you do it and you're successful for a while, and then you get really overwhelmed. And oftentimes that leads to failure, where people then just say, screw it, I'm not going to do it anymore, and then they give up on everything. And the last thing that we want is for you to feel frustrated or to feel like overwhelmed. So I think my biggest takeaway is take baby steps, choose, like what Laura was saying, choose one meal or choose one thing at a time and really focus on that and slowly start building on your base. And then once you have that and it becomes a habit, then start building from there.
Well, and that kind of ties into my biggest takeaway, which, and it's kind of almost like a addition to what you're saying. It's just that exactly, like, life happens. And the reason why we've done this podcast today to give you, you know, tools that are, you can use these tools we talked about anywhere, because life is going to happen. You know, work is going to happen. Events are going to happen. Your car is going to break down. You're starving. And the next thing you know, you're, you know, eating jerky at the gas station, which happened to me. Breakups are going to happen. You know, like, there's so many things in your life that are going to happen. But the thing that's great about these tools we talked about is they're there to help you just make smarter decisions without feeling stressed out. And you just can, you don't need to count. You don't need to, you know, you can use them in any situation. So just be kind to yourself as you embark on making any healthier changes. And just be open to the fact that life does happen and it will happen, but you're just got to do the best that you can. So with that, okay, that is our podcast for today. I hope you guys learned a lot, learning about our top four ways to clean up your eating without counting a single calorie. And of course, if you have any questions or you have anything you want us to cover on the podcast, you can email us at info@fitchicks.ca. And I know I mentioned that we do have that new program coming up, the Natural Weight Loss Coach. And that is open for registration right now. You can get more information on it at fitchicksacademy.com. Okay, everybody, have a fabulous day, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.